is God's word.
Not Pastor Eben's word.
I am who it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can be who it says I can be.
And I will have what it says I can have.
Today,
I will hear the word of God.
I boldly declare
that my mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
My ears are open.
And I better not go sleep.
I'll never be the same.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for Jesus who shed his blood so that we can have access to the throne of grace. And so I pray right now in the name of Jesus, as I step back, that the Spirit of God will use me to articulate the things of God. And I thank you because you watch over your word to perform it. Therefore, we can expect signs, miracles, and wonders to follow our lives as we hear the word, as we receive the word, and as we do the word. And we thank you for an amazing day today in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Happy New Year to everyone. If you're watching online, Happy New Year to you. If you would, give our online family a big hand clap this morning. Can you do that? So today is the first Sunday of the year, and I'm excited about what I believe God has in store for us individually and what he has in store for us collectively. And every year around this time, I would have prayed to seek direction on the overall theme of our church. And just to help you, a lot of times the way the themes that come to me are in various ways. And so, in other words, a scripture may jump out at me, and I may use that as a theme. A thought from a Bible story may come to me. Or God just may impress something on my heart. And so this year, our theme has actually come from a burden that I had in 2023 while pastoring our church. One of my strengths, if you don't really know me, is I'm a very generous person. Amen. And generosity is one of the values of our church. However, you may not realize this, but whatever your strength is, it's probably your weakness too. And that is the case for me, that although generosity is a strength of me, it's also a weakness of mine as well. And unfortunately, as a giver, I sometimes give to people and it hurts them more than it helps them. Everybody say years ago. Years ago, God spoke to me and he says, Eben, you need to stop being Jehovah Jireh for your staff. And I thought, wow, cause see back then, let's say a staff person called in, say, hey pastor, I had a flat on the way here. I need to stop in a discount tire. They go in there and then they come back. And when they get in the office, I'll be like, so, you know, how was that? And they said, well, you know what? I ended up needing four tires, pastor. Well, they wouldn't even say nothing. I'd be like, well, how much was it? And then I'd bless them, right? Well, the Lord said, Eben, I need you to stop being Jehovah Jireh for your staff, because he said this to me. He said, they'll get your best, but they won't get mine. And I said all that to say this, that it has always been a goal of our church to give out at least 10% of whatever comes in financially. We've done it for years. In fact, when we moved into the building, it was more difficult because we had so many things going on. But we would normally take about 10% of what comes in and we allow that to go out. That includes, you know, like churches that we partnered with. We have a sister church in California. And then there are other churches that we have financially committed to. So it goes to partner churches. It goes to churches in ministry that we've helped to actually plant. So like right now, Journey Church in Fort Worth. We're helping to plant them. They're in their, I think, 10th month now. And Word of Truth Family Church, we've already committed for the year 2024, $100,000 to go to them. Amen. Give yourselves a hand clap for that. So this money helps ministries that we've helped to plant, but also some of that money is there to help provide financial assistance to the members here at Word of Truth Family Church. Well, in 2023, our benevolence budget was unusually, and may I add, unhealthily higher than what it should have been. Recently, I surveyed 6 different churches and 6 different pastors, with 2 of those churches being larger than ours. And unfortunately, I hate to say this, but out of all 6 of those churches, Word of Truth had the highest benevolence budget of them all. I'm talking about, in some cases, double or triple more than what they were doing. And so there were 2 common things that we noticed financially in helping people on last year. There are 2 things that we noticed. The first thing is that the majority of those that we helped to assist or who needed support, the majority of them were non-tithers. The second thing that we noticed, which was consistent across the board, is the majority of those receiving assistance were poor money managers and had not really, it's one thing to not be able to manage, and it's another thing to not know how to manage. Amen. And so I took that and I noticed that this is a need. And so that's how I came up with the theme. This year's theme is a year of divine stewardship. Now I have an addition to that. It's going to be a year of a divine stewardship so that we can experience God's divine promises. Because when you manage your money God's way, there are promises on the other side of that management. Say amen to that. Amen. So, today's message and the whole series is going to be so good, so you don't want to miss it, because I believe the series is going to upgrade your life. How many like upgrades? Man, I like upgrades. If you've ever been in the back of a plane where the restrooms are, and they come to you and they say, Mr. Connor, would you like an upgrade? We would upgrade you to first class for free. How many know I'm going to take that deal, right? Right, right. Well, I believe the message today and our series is going to upgrade your life. Amen. So if you need the notes, you can raise your hand, and our ushers will give it to you. What I'm going to do today, hopefully it's going to help you get a proper perspective on how God views stewardship. As a matter of fact, I know, you know, because some of this is going to be on money, and I know church people are sensitive when it comes to money. Look at your neighbor and say, stop being so sensitive. Amen. And one of the reasons I believe a lot of church people are sensitive is, you know, it could be twofold. It could have been how the last church may have handled money. But for the most part, I believe most people are sensitive because the devil does not want us to understand that managing what God has blessed us with takes us to new levels. Amen. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. They're going to put it on the screen very quickly. Jesus gave a parable and he says, well done, watch this church, thou good and faithful servant. Watch what he says. Here's the qualification. You have been faithful over a few things. Watch what he said he's going to do. He says, I will make you ruler over what? He said, you've been faithful over that $40,000 a year job. I'm now going to increase you from 40 to 70. So listen, church, how we handle what we have now determines how much we qualify later. I'm going to say that again. How we handle what we have now determines how much we qualify for later. So I want to talk about stewardship. And most people don't know this, but did you know that stewardship first started in the first book of the Bible in Genesis? It started in Genesis. And so if you're taking notes, here's point number 1. I have 4 points, and if you're a good class, I'll finish all of them, and I believe I will this morning. Here's point number 1 if you're taking notes. Stewardship started with God. Everybody say stewardship started with God. Now the word stewardship also can be used as the word manager or management. And when you look the definition up, stewardship is the responsibility, it's the care, it's the management, watch this church, of another person's resources, another person's property, and another person's financial affairs. That's what stewardship is. And so the purpose of our first point today is to show you that stewardship is so important that not only did God put it in the first book of the Bible, he decided as an example of stewardship to show us how he was a good steward. So in Genesis chapter 2 verse 4, that's where our story comes from this morning. I'm reading out of the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, and this is the history of the heavens and the earth. When they were created in the day that the Lord God had made the earth and the heavens, watch verse 5, before any plant was in the field. In other words, God made the heavens, he made the earth. But before he put some plants in the field, and before, if I say before, and before any herb of the field had grown, the Lord had not caused it to rain. Everybody say, Lord, let it rain. That's today's message, let it rain. He said, before he let it rain, the reason, and I'll show you in just a second, that he didn't let it rain is because he didn't have a man to till the ground. Now listen to the easy to read version of Genesis 2. He said, this is the story about the creation of the sky and the earth. This is what happened when the Lord God made the earth and the sky. This was before, if I say before, this was before there were plants on the earth. Watch this. Nothing was growing in the fields. Why? Because the Lord God had not made it to rain. Notice it said nothing was growing, but it didn't say nothing was alive. So since it had not rained, the reason is because there was, I'm going to finish reading. It says, because the Lord God had not made it rain on the earth, there was no one to care for the plants. So here's the question. If God had not made it rain, how did the plants that were there, because there were trees and all that, how did they stay alive? Well, look in verse 6. It says, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So how did God keep these things alive? A mist came up from the earth and watered, verse 7. And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became what? A living being. And then the Lord God planted a garden in Eastwood, Eden, and there he put the man that he had formed. So I want you to notice that God had not planted certain plants, nor did he let it rain, because had he done that, there was nobody to till and manage the soil. Nobody there to manage the plants. In other words, let's say he planted some grapes. The grapes would have withered on the vine. There was no one there to steward it. And so God says, no, I'm not going to waste what I planted. So before I plant it, I'm just going to keep the plant alive with this mist. But I'm not going to let it grow till I put a man in there who can take care of it. Everybody say stewardship started with God. So watch this now. He allowed a mist to come from the ground to water what was there. So the mist kept things alive, but the rain is what made it grow. So here's a take-home statement. This is so good. Proper stewardship or proper management will make it rain, but lack of stewardship will only keep it sustained. I'm going to say that again because I don't think you got it. Let's rewind that one. Stewardship. Everybody say stewardship. Stewardship will make it rain. See, God did, he said, I'm not going to let it rain till I put somebody in there who can manage it. Stewardship, proper stewardship will make it rain, but lack of stewardship will only keep it sustained. And that's what happens when you don't manage your resources properly. What happens is they stay alive, but they don't grow. In other words, a mist being there keep things alive, but once God put a man in place and stewardship happened, he caused it to rain. Amen. And so as believers, we can't say that we are good stewards until we learn the first step of stewardship. And so that's what I'm covering today. The first step of stewardship. And you say, well, Pastor Edmund, what's the first step? The first step is how to properly honor God with how and the way that we give to him. Amen. See, I've been a believer for 38 years. Everybody give me a hand clap for that. 38 years. I stayed saved for 38. Even though I went off on the Uber Eats operator last night. I did. I'm sorry. First lady said, did you repent from that? She said, you need to repent before you go up there. I said, Lord, forgive me for going off on the Uber Eats lady last night. I've been saved for 38 years. But one of the things that I've learned over my 38 years and my walk with Christ is I've learned how to honor God in how I give. Amen. And what's interesting is I initially learned how to give by watching my dad put his tithe and his offering in an offering envelope in the Presbyterian church. And so what my dad would do, he would get paid, let's say on a Tuesday. The Presbyterian church would give you assigned envelopes. It had your membership number on it and everything. So what my dad would do, he would take his envelope out of the box that they provided. He would put his check in there, which represented his tithe and his offering, and he would sit it on his desk until Sunday came. You know what? My dad, just through that example, was teaching me, watch this, what I call today premeditated giving. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2 in the New Living Translation says this. On the first day of each week, what's the first day of the week? Sunday, today. He says, on the first day of the week, Paul said to these people, you should, each one of you should put aside a portion of the money that you have earned. And watch what he says. He said, don't wait till I get there and then try to collect it all at once. In other words, Paul was saying, I need you to premeditate your giving. Get it ready. And see, back in my dad's day, they didn't have technology like we have. See, most of my giving is already set up. It's already assigned. It already has a date because technology allows us to do what we call reoccurring giving. And see, here's the thing. Reoccurring or setting up your giving ahead of time shows God that you're thinking about him ahead of time. Amen. So I believe, you know, that giving is simple, but the average person either doesn't understand giving or they've allowed the world to complicate it altogether. And so as I've grown and now I've been pastoring for 19 years coming up, I have an insight of why I believe the average believer is not blessed financially the way they're supposed to be. Amen. So that's what we're going to look at today. And I've discovered something. Ask me what I've discovered. I've discovered that most people are negative when it comes to financial matters in God. Look at your neighbor and say, are you negative? And the main reason I believe most people are negative is because the enemy doesn't want us to understand that there's a standard that God wants us to give by. In fact, most people, before they even get to church, the devil done told them a lie. I'm going to see if you heard that lie. The lie sounds like this. All the church want is your... Oh, y'all done heard that lie too, huh? Ask me what else I've discovered. I've discovered that negative thinking about giving to God actually started in the first family of God. See, most people think that tithing and giving started like with Moses or the law or the... No. It started with the first family of the Bible. So not only did stewardship start in Genesis, guess what? Negative thinking about giving started in Genesis as well. So here's what we're going to do, because I want to show you that negative thinking when it comes to giving started in Genesis. And let me just add this. I'm throwing shade, but just because somebody is famous doesn't mean they're right. Just because a famous person, I ain't calling no names, but just because a famous person decided they didn't want to believe in tithing or not, don't make them right. As a matter of fact, not only does it not make them right, they did not write the Bible. It's not our fault they decided to believe something different. Amen. So, let's go now to point number two, which is tithing and giving offering has always been God's plan to honor him and prosper us. I'm gonna say that again. Tithing and giving offering has always been God's plan to honor him and to prosper us. So watch this now. Genesis chapter 4. I'm gonna show you something that you've probably never seen in the Bible before. Genesis 4. And here's what I want you to do. I want you just for right now, lay aside what you think you've been taught or know about giving. Just sit it over to, you can pick it back up before service is out. I just want you to sit it to the side. And I want you to let the word of God decide what your mind ought to believe. It says in verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and she bare Cain. And she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she, again, she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep. In other words, he was a herdsman. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. In other words, he was a farmer. And as time went by, Cain, he brought from the fruit of the ground. What did Cain bring? He brought an offering. Everybody say Cain brought an offering. He brought an offering. And I want you to pay attention of who he brought this offering to. Who does it say he brought it to? To the Lord. So listen, I don't care what social media says. I don't care what your family says. I don't even care what your mama say. When you give, listen, the church might be the container, but the recipient is the Lord. And Cain had enough sense to at least know that when he was giving it unto the Lord. Watch verse 4. And Abel, he also brought, watch this now, this is different, of the firstlings of his flock. That word firstlings, it means the first one. So when Abel came, he brought the first one of his flock. What's the next word, church? Everybody say and. And that word and is going to be very important as we go through the lesson. He said, listen, Abel brought the first one of his flock and some fat thereof. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants some of your fat. Now look at him and say, I'm happy to give it to him too. Praise the Lord. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. So watch this. Cain shows up, gives an offering. Abel shows up, gives the first one of his sheep and some fat. So listen, God had to have given some instructions for them to give to him or they wouldn't have known to do it. I can prove that, but let me keep reading and then I'm going to prove it. And then it says, after both of them came and showed up and gave, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, the Lord did not have respect. So we see what Abel brought to God. God had respect for what Abel did. But the offering that Cain brought wasn't acceptable. So I'm going to show you that in order for God to have rejected what Cain gave, Cain had to know what God wanted him to give. Say amen to that. So let's see what happened, because Abel's offering was respected and received and Cain's wasn't. Let's see how Cain responded. And Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? 2024. Cain, why you got an attitude? Watch what he says to Cain. If you do well, won't you be accepted? He said, but if you don't do well, Cain, sin lies at your door. So obviously, whatever God told Abel to do, Abel did it. But whatever he told Cain to do, Cain didn't do it. So let's see what Cain's response was. I'm in verse 6 now. The Lord said, Cain, I'm reading now out of the CEB version. That's the common English version of the Bible. The Lord said to Cain, what's wrong with you? That should have been the African American version, shouldn't it? Cain, what's wrong with you? Why do you have such an angry look on your face? If you had done, listen church now, if you had done the right thing, you would be smiling. But you did the wrong thing, and now sin is waiting to attack you like a lion. Sin wants to destroy you, but don't let it. And see, the average church person doesn't understand that when they don't give the way God wants them to, it's sin just like lion is. And watch this, and this is insight now. Cain never repented from giving wrong. And that's why that sin still overtook him, and he ended up killing his brother Abel, because he never repented. Watch this. So Cain gave, it wasn't accepted. Abel gave, it was accepted. So this says two things to me. Number one, it says that God has a standard by which he wants us to give. And anything short of that standard, watch this church, it's not acceptable. Here's the second thing that I saw. God does not accept any old thing we decide to give him. And see, most Christians, we're not giving the way God wants us to. And that's why we're not blessed the way God wants us to be blessed. And that's what happened to Cain. He brought his offering to God. God looked at it and said, Cain, I can't accept this. Now here's the thing. The church will accept it. But see, I don't want my church to accept what I'm giving. I want God to accept what I'm giving. And so we can see what happened with Cain. So listen, God has a standard. Everybody say, God has a standard. God has a standard in how he wants us to give. And the devil don't want us to have the standard. And we as people, we don't want to accept the standard. But see, here's the thing. There are other standards that God has that we don't argue about. I mean, God has a standard for salvation. He said, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and do what? Believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, what's going to happen? You shall be saved. I don't hear nobody arguing over that. But I don't want to confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. Well, go to hell then. I mean, we don't hear nobody arguing over the standard for salvation. And the only reason we argue over the standard that God wants us to give is because our hearts ain't right when it comes to giving. Amen. People say stuff like, well, I'm not going to give 10%. I'm just going to give 5%. All right, Cain. Look at your neighbor and say, I didn't know you was related to Cain. Go on and tell him. You and Cain are cousins. So let's go back real quickly to verse 4 and 5. Because in verse 4 it said that God had respect for what Abel brought. But he didn't have respect for what Cain brought. So these two verses imply several things. Number one, it implies if they both were bringing something to give before God, they had to have been asked or instructed by God to do it. Can we agree on that? All right, here's the second thing that it implies. If God had respect for one of their offerings and he didn't have respect for the other one, there had to have been a known standard by which God was measuring their giving by. Everybody say a known standard. In other words, they both had to know what the standard was. You say, well, Pastor Evan, why do you say that? Because number one, it would be unfair to God to expect something from them that he had not communicated to them. Number one. Number two, it would be unfair of God, watch this, to ask them to do something that they were incapable of doing. Let me add this too. It would definitely be unfair of God to ask them to do something, watch this, that would hurt them or what was bad for them. So here's the principle. If God had a standard for Cain and Abel to give back then, how many believe God has a standard for us today? He does. So here's the question. What was it about Abel's offering that made his accepted over Cain? Because see, you and I, we need to learn how to give like Abel so we won't be a killer like Cain. So verse 3 says, in the process of time, Cain brought an offering from the ground to the Lord. And then Abel brought, watch this, of the firstlings, that's the first one, of his flock and, everybody say and. And some fat. So it looks like Cain just brought an offering. But it looks like Abel brought the first and some fat. So I want to demonstrate this because see, a lot of people do what Cain did. See, when we get paid, what Cain did is his first fruit came out of the ground. He got some strawberries and stuff. And so instead of giving his first to the Lord, Cain was like, well, shoot, I need to feed my donkeys. They're the ones that help plow the field. So he fed the donkeys. Then he went, of course, he had to feed his wife and his kids. So he gave them something. And so, and then he said, you know what? I need some gas in my car. Well, he had no car back then, did he? In other words, he didn't give the first. But here's what Abel did. Now, because Abel was a herdsman, I can't demonstrate that in animals. So we're going to convert the animals into money. So let's say Abel got paid that week $100. So what Abel did was 10% of $100. How much? $10. Well, my question to you is, because here's the 100, which one of these dollars is the first 10? Huh? The first on the right or the first on the left? No, no. The first 10th is the one that I decide to spend first. So watch this. So when Abel got paid, he took the $10 and he gave it to the Lord. But that ain't where he stopped, because the Bible says he gave a first and some what? Fat. When you look that word fat up, it's the word grease. See, when I was growing up, we didn't throw away the grease. We had this Crisco can on the stove, saving that bacon grease, saving that pork chop grease. I didn't know what I'm talking about. You old, that's why. Uh-huh. Listen, 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 listen. Abel brought the first, but he also, it said and, everybody say and. And he brought some fat. So the fat was the offering. He said, okay, all right. I gave him 10 as a first fruit or a tithe. Let me give him now $3. See, that's what Abel did. He did the right thing. Everybody say Abel. Abel. Did the right thing. In other words, what Abel did not do, he didn't see if his sheep was going to have another sheep before he gave his first sheep. He didn't wait to see if all of his bills were paid to determine if he was going to give to the Lord. No, because that's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. You might not see in your mind's eye or in your checking account you're going to have enough. But God's job cannot start until you do yours. Amen. Romans chapter 11 verse 16 says this, for if the first fruit, the first one, if it's holy, then the whole lump becomes holy. See, let me tell you what happens. If you, listen, you don't give your first to anybody who don't have the power to bless you. The electric company doesn't have the power to bless you. You say, well, Pastor Evan, they keep my lights on. No, you paid to keep your lights on. They didn't bless you to keep your lights on. Right? So you don't give the first to somebody that can't bless you. The Bible says when we give the first fruit, it becomes holy and it blesses the rest of what we keep. Say amen to that. Amen. So when we give up the first, it should always be to God, because whoever gets my first should have the power to bless me. So not only did Abel give to God the first and some fat, which means not only did Abel give his first tenth, he gave some extra. Watch this now. The difference between Cain's offering and Abel's offering is Abel gave his tenth first and then he brought an offering. Listen to Leviticus chapter 27 verse 30. It says, and all the tithe of the land, how much? How much? All the tithe of the land, whether it's the seed of the land or whether it comes from the fruit of the tree, whose is it? It's not Uncle Sam's. Amen. It's not a tenth of what you got. It's a tenth of what you earned. So watch this. Let me see. Pierre, come and help me. Yes. Y'all give him a hand clap as he come to help me. You come right here. Come right here. Oh, you're going to come on stage. Good. Now, whose $20 bill is this? Whose is it? Come on, I need you to say it loud because I need him to understand this. It's mine. So Pierre, I'm going to ask you to hold on to that $20 bill for me. All right. Okay, go ahead and sit back down though. But I want you to sit on the front because I need to keep my eye on you. Whose $20 bill is that? It's mine. Now, what did I ask him to do? Just hold on and watch it for me. In other words, he's being a steward over what I have allowed him to hold. So, Pierre, can I have my $20 bill back? Can I have it back? Can I have it back? Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Stay right there. Stay right there. Y'all give him a hand clap. Yeah. So I have a question. Did he bless me with $20? No. Did he give me $20? No. What did he do? He returned to me my $20. And when you and I tithe, we're not giving. We're just returning to God what belongs to him. And so just because you were a good person, here you go. You can have the $20 bill. Yes. And make sure you pay your tithe and give some fat off of that. Check his pockets on the way out. Would you do that? Everybody say the fat represents the offering. And see, the offering is where you and I decide what we're going to give. That's why in the New Testament says, let a man purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. See, look, tithing is not giving. Tithing is returning. So you don't start giving until after that. Amen. So watch this now. Because most people think, well, I think the fat and the first one is the same. Well, let's just break this down. Okay, because the first thing comes to my mind, because I'm in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, it says, and Abel brought also of the firstlings of his flock, and. Everybody say and. So here's the first question. Is the word and a conjunction? When I was growing up, they had this cartoon. Conjunction, junction, what's your function? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here's my question. What do conjunctions do? They connect words and thoughts. Am I right? Any English, they connect words and thoughts. I'll give you an example. Won't you help me out? Peanut butter and? Oh, y'all know about that, huh? Watch this. Bologna and? Oh. Now this next one's kind of controversial. Just depends on where you were raised. Y'all ready for this one? Chicken and? Oh, okay. See, if you're from the urban side of town, you would have said chicken and hot sauce. If you were from the country, you would say chicken and dumplings. In other words, the word and connects thoughts and sentences. So listen. So when Abel brought the whole first animal, the fat had to be separate and in addition to what he brought. And that's why it said and. Now this word and shows up in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3 verse 8. And here's the problem that I see with lots of churches. Lots of churches are so desperate that they teach or push the congregation to tithe, not realizing that there is a prescription to the blessing. And it's not tithing alone. What did Abel bring? He brought a first fruit and a what? And some fat. Well, look in Malachi chapter 3. Look in verse 8. It says, will a man rob God? Absolutely. We stick God up every Sunday. Stick him up, God. He said, but you have robbed me. He said, how have we robbed you? I want you to read it with me, church. In tithes. Wow. It's not just tithes. And this is why a lot of you are still not reaching the breakthrough financially, because all we see on your giving record is tithe, 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 tithe. Well, you know, God is tired of your tithe. What was acceptable to God? The first and, come on, we gonna use this. Everybody say the first. This section right here. Say first. It was really fat, but I'll let you go with that. So based on scripture, good stewardship starts with tithing and giving offering. So here's the important question. What happens when we learn to do that? Here's point number three as we get ready to close. Rain is unleashed when giving is released. See, we're talking about rain. Rain represents God's blessing. Rain is unleashed when giving is released. In other words, listen, church, blessings, overflow, increase in favor happens when you and I learn to obey God when it comes to our giving. Watch Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3. He says, if you walk in my statutes, in other words, if you obey me, church, and you keep my commandments, and you what? And you do them, something's going to happen. He said, then when? When I obey God, he says, then I will give you what, church? Rain in what? Due season. The land is going to yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Everybody say, rain comes. No, let me say it like my point is. Say, rain is unleashed when giving is released. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. You can read Deuteronomy 12, 11 because it does the same thing. But now I'm going to jump down, media department, in Haggai chapter 1, because here's where most people, this is what I don't want to say expecting, but this is what they're seeing. This is Haggai chapter 1, verse 2, New Living Translation. So this is what the Lord of Heaven's Army says. The people are saying, the time has not come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the Lord sent a message through the prophet Haggai or through Pastor Eben saying, why are you living in your nice houses while my house is in ruins? This is what the Lord of Heaven's Army said. Look what's happening to you. He says, you have what? Planted much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but you're not satisfied. You're thirsty, but you don't have drink. He says, you put on clothes and they can't keep you warm. Watch this one. He says, you go to work and you earn wages, but they disappear as though you put them in pockets filled with holes. I want you to watch and see what he says. He says, look at what's happening to you. Now, the King James, I like it. He says, consider your ways. Obviously, what's working for you right now ain't working. Say amen to that. Watch now verse 10. In that same context, verse 10. He says, it's because of you that the heavens withhold the dew and the earth produces no crops. So do you know we're the ones that hold up the rain? Now see, some of y'all, the devil talking to you, see, he just wants your money. Well, obviously if we ain't got it, the light's still on. Well, that was kind of bold, wasn't it? How many didn't know the air conditioner worked in this church? Ooh, I tell you what, we wearing jackets up in here and it'd be 100 degrees outside. I go to a store, they'd be, sir, no, you didn't go to church with me. That's why I got this jacket on. So who is this message for? Because I'm going to break down. I'm going to show you how to manage your money. Because see, here's why I'm having to adjust our giving. Because if I don't, I lose my status as a good steward. That's right. See, I'm giving fish, but I'm not showing you how to fish. In other words, there are some people, and see, here's the beautiful thing. I don't know who we helping because I just set the budget. That's all I do. But see, some people, you know what they're doing? They have faith in word of truth, but they're not using their faith towards God. Amen. So who is this message for? Number one is for people who have never acted on their faith to tithe. Never acted on their faith. Here's number two this message is for. It's for those who I call inconsistent tithers. These are circumstantial givers. If things are good, they'll tithe. If things are tight, they use that same phrase that religious people use. The Lord understands. Well, if he understood, he'd have gave Cain a pass. And you wonder why you've experienced dry seasons. because your season is connected to your sowing. So there are some people, you're circumstantial givers. You said, well, what's that? If you haven't gone 90 days without not tithing, you're a circumstantial giver. Here's the third person that this is for, a third group, I should say. It's for those who have been tithing, but you haven't combined your offering with it. You didn't even know that. See, churches have majored so much on tithing, you missed it. But listen, the prerequisite for the windows of heaven to be opened, the prerequisite for blessing to be poured out, the prerequisite that Abel modeled for us is the first something. So let me tell you what some of y'all have done. You're giving a tenth, but you're not giving a first. So $100, it's time to give. What did Abel do? He gave the first one, right? That ain't what you've been doing. You pay your electricity bill, you pay your car note, you pay your school tuition, you give your kids school money for lunch, and then you still have $10 left and you give it. No, you didn't. God said that ain't first. See, you say, well, that difference does it make? God don't like leftovers even though you do. Last but not least, this message is for some people who you currently do it God's way. You've been tithing, you give offering, but your faith in doing it has dwindled. You're giving out of habit or tradition. You stop giving by faith. You say, well, Pastor Evan, how do I know if I stop giving by faith? How does a person know that? It's when you've stopped expecting and confessing. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's expectation. So how do you know you're expecting something? Ask a kid that you've made a promise to. What they're going to do. They're going to repeat the promise until you fulfill it. Mama, you said. Mama, you said. Mama, you said. Daddy, you said. What they say? All they doing is they confessing and expecting. And this is why we do the confession every Sunday. I don't want you to just wait on Sunday. Listen, it needs to come out of your spirit throughout the day and throughout the week. That if a bill comes in the mail, instead of saying, what am I going to do? You say, Father, I thank you that I live in daily expectation of an exceptional life. Because I give offering. I thank you, Father, to go to there. Yeah. So listen, that's what you need to be saying. Because that's proof that you're confessing and expecting. You can't get saved without a confession. So with every head bowed, but we're done. Every head bowed. We're going to do two altar calls. One of them is a financial altar call. Because God wants you to start this year off right. You have been, I'm talking to somebody right now, you've been in a financial whirlwind for a long time. It's time for you to do it God's way. You say, well, Pastor Evan, I don't have enough money to pay all my bills. Well, I'd rather trust God to provide for the rest than to live under the curse.